Welcome to Uncommon Faith. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Amber.
Hi, Amber.
Hi.
So, how's it going?
It's going. So, I'm kind of excited, but kind of nervous at the same time for today's episode.
Yeah.
Today we have on my mom. Her name is CJ.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for coming on.
You're very welcome. I'm excited.
And I just kind of wanted to jump into this real quick and share a little bit about a conversation my mom and I had the other day. Mm-hmm. So in light of all the things that have been happening in the world, in the U.S. recently, the topic of abortion has come up a lot. And mm-hmm. So my mom was someone that did have an abortion when I wasn't even born yet. Mm-hmm. And she went down that road, and I just want to share a little bit about what that road was like for her.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, do you want to share your story?
I will share my story. And before I get started, I just want anyone who's listening to know that this isn't, I am a believer and I love my God. But this isn't a story just about believers or non-believers. This is a story about how women in general get hurt by doing something that the world wants us to think is just so natural and okay to do.
Mm-hmm.
At 16 years old, I was a believer. I loved God, but I was 16 and did not come from a great background. So I didn't have much confidence. I had a boyfriend. We messed up and had sex outside of marriage, and we got pregnant. Part of me was excited, and the other part of me had so much fear of what would happen to me that I chose the other way to go rather than have my child. I felt guilt and shame, but when I went to the abortion clinic, I was told, hey, don't worry about it. It's nothing at this point. It's just a blob. There's nothing there. So don't feel guilty about it. They knew I believed in God because I let them know.
Did they tell you it was just tissue?
They told me it was absolutely just tissue, that I caught it in time before it was anything. It affected me badly even then. I mean, there was some part of me, because again, I knew the Lord, that I knew it wasn't right, but I also believed that it wasn't a human at that point. It was devastating. I will never forget it. I remember crying the whole time. I remember being put out, knowing that when I woke up, my child wasn't going to be there anymore. Even though I didn't think there was a real human, I knew inside my soul that there was a soul. And it was heartbreaking. And my boyfriend and I both, we were just brokenhearted. You know, you kind of, you know, as years go by, especially when you're young, you get over it a little bit, you think, but you never really get over it. It affects so many areas in your life. And as women, it really just takes its toll on you, even when you think it hasn't.
Like, you know, back then, like how was one like told about, like, if you become pregnant, you know, you can, like how it is now, like, you know, abortion clinics, you can go to Planned Parenthood or whatnot. Like, what was it like back then? Like, how did you even know about abortion?
Well, back then there were plenty of girls that were doing it. I had a girlfriend who said that was her favorite way of, you know, not getting pregnant, you know, not having a child, just go get rid of it. That was her birth control, which is heartbreaking. I will say to this today, she does not feel that way. She is now in the nursing industry and is very much pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
Planned Parenthood is exactly where I went. And It wasn't hard. It was easy for anybody to go.
No. So you don't need parental consent or anything like that?
No, you didn't need anything.
When you went, I'm curious, mm-hmm. I don't remember if you had told me or not, but when you went, did they tell you of your other options? Or did they lean more towards pushing that?
They didn't tell you of any other options. There wasn't anything talked about other than, we've got you, we'll take care of you, it'll be okay, and it'll be over soon. There was no discussion of anything else. And let me make this clear, especially then, it wasn't, oh, come to Planned Parenthood, we will help you figure out how not to do this. It basically was, you come, that's all that people talked about was Planned Parenthood was where you could just go get rid of your child. And it's heartbreaking, and it does damage you. Even for people who have different viewpoints than myself, trust me, it damages you somewhere down the line. Sadly for me, myself, years later, it happened to me again. And again, I had so much shame by that time, knowing that I had taken a life, that I took another life.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Once you do it, it almost makes it easier, like you become numb to it. How many times did you do it?
I did it 4 times. And let me tell you, as a woman who loves God, and I know that God has forgiven me, so I know that the Lord does not hold that against me. I was so ashamed of myself. And I know that I will get to meet those children someday. So for me, being a believer, I know that I'll get to meet my other children. But it is just one of those things, sort of like they say with divorce. Once you do it once, you know, it's easier down the road. And it kind of is the same thing when it comes to abortion. And that part's heartbreaking as well, because you just know, oh, there is that option. And think about that. If a believer knows that and we still mess up like that, think about those who don't have that, I'll say, moral setting, how much easier it is.
Right. You kind of become desensitized.
Absolutely. And, you know, people don't want to think about it and they don't want to realize that, you know, that is a child. You can say what you want. You can say my body, my choice. No, your choice was to use protection or to not have sex. That was your choice. But once you, you know, have a baby growing in you, once there's that little heartbeat, that little soul in there, that's not your choice. I mean, you can choose it, absolutely. And you can, you know, you'll feel bad. And you'll be forgiven if you love the Lord. It's not that. But again, it will devastate you for the rest of your life. You will always have that hole there.
To, you know, your second and your third and then your fourth, did you hear about your other options by that point and then you just chose to have the abortion?
Absolutely not.
Still no other options?
Absolutely not. The last time I had one, I was 20, I believe 23 years old. So I had 4 between the ages of 16 and 23. And I was never offered, told about any other options other than, don't worry, we gotcha.
Now, if you were told, like, you know, adoption is an option, you know, or if, you know, want to keep your child, support you, et cetera, which would you think that you would have chosen?
Myself. Being me, I would have loved to have just been able to have my children. Mm-hmm. I would have been so excited to know that there would have been help out there, that I could keep my children, because that's just who I was. Again, it devastated me. I can't say that it didn't. It did.
A big part of what drove you to it, though, was the scare factor of knowing that you would have to tell your family that you were pregnant at such a young age, right?
Absolutely. I mean, again, I came from a violent home. So my thought was, I knew that I would be not only disowned, but there would be no help. So that in itself was, for me, why. Now, that's not an excuse. Don't get me wrong. I don't excuse myself. But that is the reason at those points in times why. But had I had an option that I could have kept my children and known that we, you know, I would have been able to feed them or whatever, I absolutely would have kept my children. Lots of people, you know, do adoption. And I think that's also a wonderful self, you know, very selfless act to do. It's an amazing thing to be able to, you know, say, hey, I can't do it, but I'm going to allow somebody else to do it.
Right.
If you're okay with it, do you, I mean, I know that you were probably put under.
I was put under.
For yes. All procedures. What do you remember of those procedures and, like, you know, whatever you remember during, or if, you know, like your physical.
Right.
What's the word? Yeah. Like,
well,
you know,
let me walk you through how it went, because it is something I will never forget. They bring you back. They bring you back one at a time, but you end up sitting in a room with other people. They bring you back. They have you get out of your clothes, put their gown and their booties on, and a group of girls sits in the waiting room together, and then they call you by name and take you back and put you on the table. I will always have the memory of the anesthesia. I will always have the smell of it in my nose. To this day, it bothers me. Anytime I've ever had to have anything else done, it's one of the reasons I cannot stand to be put out for a procedure, because that smell is just sickening to me. You know, you wake up, you're groggy, you feel a sense of missing, because you are missing someone. And at least that's how it was for me.
Every time.
I never had one and thought, oh gosh, this is great, my problems will be over. It was never that. It was more shame on myself for not getting my act together better and taking better care. So yeah, it was always a horrible, horrible experience.
And real quick, while we're on the topic of the process of it, I want to get a little graphic, because some people don't quite understand how it works or what it is exactly. But there's multiple options of abortion. One of them being that they can go inside and just completely decapitate the baby.
Well, it's not here. Absolutely. But it depends on, a lot of it depends on how far along you are. They can put a solution in you that literally just eat your baby away. The other ways are they go in, they crush the skull, and then they pull it out, and then they pull all the other little parts of your baby's body out. So there is no way that the child doesn't feel pain. The child absolutely feels pain. There's feelings in the womb.
They have recordings of the babies making noises during abortion, and I don't think a lot of people know that.
Well, they have recordings also of the babies, like, wincing. And people don't want to watch them because, again, people don't want to know the realities of it. Mm-hmm. It's easy to just act like it's that blob of tissue that has no feeling. But
it's just a fetus.
Yeah, that's not true.
That's what they'll say over and over. It's just a fetus. But a child has a heartbeat 7 days after conception.
Right. Seven to 10 days, that child's heart is beating. So if they want to go on that, I mean, as Christians, we know that the moment that we conceive, the moment of conception, when that sperm met that egg, there's a child. But if you want to do it scientifically, then absolutely, 7 to 10 days, there's a heartbeat. How do you deny life when you've got a heartbeat?
Mm-hmm.
That's life.
Yeah.
There's the other option where the woman takes a pill and it literally burns the child, and then you end up going into labor.
I mean, there's just so much. There really is just so much, and it is just sad. But, you know, you also want people to know that, listen, there's going to be a lot of people out there who are like me or anyone else who've had it done, and maybe they're still living in the shame of it. You know, don't live in the shame of it. Yes, it was a horrible experience, but also know that your God is forgiving and He is there. He is there to comfort you. I hid from it for so long, and I was in so much shame. And I actually had a sister-in-law who sat me down one day and said, you don't need to be like that. God will forgive you. Just go to him. And, you know, I finally did. It took me a lot of years. So women need to know that as well. God does forgive. And he will just love you and just love you right on through it.
So how old were you when you had Amber's older sister?
So when I had Mandy, I was 18.
So you had her, but then you had how many of the abortions after her?
I had her, then I had Amber.
Okay.
So. And there was none in between her and Amber. It was after Amber.
Okay.
And I had come out of a bad marriage and just had no self-esteem whatsoever. And so I did some stupid stuff as a young girl, because let's face it, I was 21. I was a girl after, you know, still.
Mm-hmm.
And if so, I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when you found out you were pregnant with me, it was kind of a scary situation as well. And it.
Well, it wasn't scary. I just knew that it wasn't acceptable. My dad and his wife, even with Mandy, my first one, they wanted me to abort her. They wanted me to abort Amber. I chose right. not
I was going
to
say, and my aunt convinced you not to, correct?
No, she had nothing to do with it, actually, at all. But then before Matthew, I had one. And then after Matthew were the other two.
Okay. So what was that like? Having
hard.
And then...
Very, very hard. What happened was after Amber, my ex-husband, you know, he got into drugs really bad. He was a druggie. And so myself, I just knew that it was not going to be acceptable that, you know, we were going to have another child. So there's where that one came in. I ended up pregnant again very quickly during that marriage. And I decided, no, that's not happening. I'm giving birth. And so I did. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we were going through the divorce. And again, I had no self-esteem after that. So I just, in a dark place, made bad decisions.
Do you think that the low self-esteem was attributed to the abortions, or did it amplify what was already there, do you think?
You know, the low self-esteem is part of what caused me not to take care of myself, not to demand that either protection be used or that I demanded respect from my husband. So the low self-esteem did that. Mm-hmm. The fear of the ridicule and the anger from everybody is part of what, you know, made the others happen. But again, it was my responsibility. So I can't really, you know, blame one thing or the other thing. I should have been stronger. And that's just a fact. I should have been. It is, you know, a choice I made that I shouldn't have made.
What did you end up doing after all of this time had passed? Share a little bit about that, where God placed you after you had done all of this.
Right. So, you know, again, it takes forgiveness from the Lord to gain some self-esteem back, and it finally did. And God, you know, it's not like he ever left me. I want people to know that too, that are out there. He doesn't leave you, but he waits for you to call on him. And I finally did call on him, and he came into my life in such a grand way when it came to healing that wound. And so when we moved, I had, of course, gotten divorced by then, I got remarried. We moved. And when we moved up to a desert and got involved with the church. And through that church, they let me know about a place that was a crisis pregnancy center. And God placed it on my heart, even though I still at this point in time was just one of those shy people. He placed it on my heart to go check it out. And I did. And I became a counselor. And it was an amazing thing. I did it for 7 years. Got to work for a crisis pregnancy center and talk to other girls that came in. And they came in from the ages of 12 on up. who were in situations where, you know, they were pregnant or they might be pregnant or they were in a violent situation. And God used me so much in that. He grew me. He helped, let me help others. You know, he worked through me to help others. It was amazing. So God will do wonderful things when you give up all that shame and all that guilt and decide that you're not going to let that hold you down. And just reach out for him. He will change things in a wonderful way for you.
Right. And there was women that would come back into the center, right, and tell you that they gave birth and thank you for talking them out of abortion, correct?
There were. And it was, that was, wow. You know, that was something just to know that, just, you know, letting God talk through you, let somebody else say, hey, I don't want to go down that road. I want to keep my child. You know, and there were many counselors, and that happened to so many. And it was a beautiful thing to see people come in and say, you know, look at this, is little, you know, little Jenny or little Mike. And I wouldn't have given birth if I hadn't come in here and talked to somebody who knew what it was like, who knew what it would be like ahead of this. And that's a beautiful thing when you see God working like that. It's just wow.
So what type of things, like how would you counsel, say, a, you know, a young teen versus what you would say to an adult?
Well, let me tell you, there's not a whole lot of difference really. But when the teenage girls would come in, you would really just ask, you know, let them know, listen, I understand. I was there. I was you. You know, I know what it's like to be with your boyfriend and he wants to have sex and, you know, he doesn't want to wait, but yet you want to wait. And I know what it feels like. I know what that pressure feels like. Maybe you won't say no. Maybe you will say no. If you don't say no, you're still, you know, you can still be okay. They have to know that you understand where they're at. Mm-hmm. And then they're able to open up to you. They're able to open up to you and say, okay, well, this is how I feel. I mean, listen, I had a 12-year-old girl come in. Her mama brought her in, and she had been having sex. And it's hard when you're sitting there with a 12-year-old girl, you know, who's mm-hmm. worried that she might be pregnant. And the only thing she thinks of is, well, I'm not going to keep this baby. So then, you know, the conversation gets into other things, of course. It's like, you know, you want to talk about not just not having sex, but if you're going to and you're determined to have, you know, protection. And yes,
so they get on birth control.
You know, I didn't try to talk them into getting on birth control. But I did explain to them, because there are other ways, you know, there's the rhythm method. Know when you ovulate. I'm not against women doing birth control. That's up to each individual.
Right.
Myself, when I was younger, I tried it. It caused blood to clot in my legs. So I don't push that, but it's your own decision. But the best decision is, you know, don't have the sex outside of marriage. I realize to the world today, that seems crazy, but to our God, it's not. And that's who I live for. If you're not a believer, then, you know, hopefully you'll become one. But if you don't, still take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Find the ways to not have that happen to you. And again, as girls, we've talked about it. You know, sex is great, but let's be real. It's not the end-all be-all.
Right.
You know? There's many other things to do in this life. And there's many other things to do with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife than just that. So yes, it's a beautiful thing. And it's so much more beautiful when it's in marriage than it is outside of marriage. You wish now, more people would understand that.
I'm going to touch a hot topic right here. What would you tell someone though, that if it was rape?
Okay, here's the thing.
That's not a believer.
Here's the thing. Even if you're not a believer, okay? Okay, so you get raped, which they have found that is like 1% or less of the pregnancies. But let's say you got raped. Is killing a child going to take away the fact that you were raped? It's not.
Right.
killing that child isn't going to take away that bad memory, that pain that that person caused you, the fear that you're going to have for who knows how much longer in your lifetime. Killing that baby is not going to take that away from you. If you don't want to raise that baby because you're afraid it will remind you, then give that child away. But killing that child is not going to take any of that pain away from you.
Right.
Yeah. What do you, is it, and you feel like it's the same when a doctor is telling you that it's, you know, maybe the baby's got Down syndrome or they won't be able to survive that long outside of the womb, you know, because I've got, you know, maybe a couple of friends, probably just one friend who, you know, the doctor told her and her husband, they're married, that the baby wasn't, you know, would have mental defects or, you know, things like that. And so I think it was ended up being like a late term abortion. Mm. What's your opinion on that? On when a doctor comes in and says, well, this is your best option.
Well, in my opinion, and I'm sure there will be plenty who don't agree with it. Again, if you're not a believer, your opinion is going to probably be a little different than mine, but not necessarily. Because you don't have to be a believer to love children. God put that child in you. If God chooses to take that child away, then that's God's choice. If God chooses for you to have a child who has Down syndrome, then that's his choice. If you're not a believer, that doesn't mean that you are not going to love that beautiful Down syndrome baby you have. Because you're right. Still capable of loving and loving your child.
Give yourself a chance. To right. Prove to yourself that you can still raise someone and show them that love, because love is love, right?
Love is love as far as that, you know, it's a child. So it doesn't matter if your child's missing everything. It's your child and you're going to love that child. And maybe your child isn't going to be viable outside of you for more than a couple of days, more than a week. Well, guess what? You're still going to have the blessing of being able to see that child, touch that child, tell that child you love them. And you will have that in your heart always, because it's always a blessing. It's just always a blessing. And sometimes there's a hard end to it. Absolutely. But you know what? You had that blessing of whatever little time you got. And it's an amazing thing. And you'll see that child again. So, yeah. For me, you know, and people will say, well, what if it's the mother or the child? Listen, people, we're in 2022. We can take and transplant just about anything. Do you really think that there are that many women who cannot survive giving birth to their children with all the medical things we have today?
Right.
So how many people do you know who were going to die if they gave birth?
Yeah.
And we have to think about that. There are billions of people on this planet. How many of them have actually lost their lives? And then I'm going to speak to the believers. If you're a believer, then you know that your life belongs to God. And if it's your time, nothing's going to stop him from taking you. If it's not your time, nobody else can make you go. If you're a non-believer, you know what? You have to look at the odds of that. Look at the scientific proof of how many people actually have ever lost their life in this day and age, not in 1930, in 2022. How many women actually have to make that choice?
So I just want to fast forward a little bit.
Okay.
So Amber, I mean, we've talked about this already. It's a common knowledge at this point. Right. Amber gets pregnant at 17. With your history, was it more of like, how did that conversation go? Was it more like,
Here's how that conversation went. Amber and Mo were at the house, and I had heard a rumor. I sat them both down on the couch. I said, is there something you'd like to tell me? They both looked at me and I said, I'm pretty sure there's something you'd like to tell me. And they told me. And they broke down crying, both of them. And I asked them, what do you plan to do? I was hoping and praying that they were planning on just having a baby. But I wanted to know what their plan was. But they both very readily told me that they were going to be parents. And even though I was sad, I was not sad that a baby was coming into our life. I was sad that those babies were not going to be babies anymore. Mm-hmm. That they were going to now have to take on the role and responsibility of being parents. And I knew what kind of journey that was. I loved every part of mine. Don't get me wrong. I was tickled to death to have children. That's all I ever wanted to do, was to be a mom, was to just be a wife and a mother. But I also knew that they were so young, and they were so young-minded at that point, that I knew that their lives were never going to be the same, and not what they thought they were going to be. So my heart broke for them in that. Was I mad? No, I wasn't mad. I was just sad.
And then to answer part of that, like, I guess for me, it's such a blessing that my mom did go through everything that she went through, and that she was open about everything she went through, because I knew at that age that it was murder in my eyes, in God's eyes, in science eyes. It's still murder. And so that wasn't an option for me. I was going to give birth at 18 years old, and that's what it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I was more scared of going down that road than I was of my mom, thankfully. I'm grateful for that. But just knowing and hearing all the stories and the regret and what my mom has had to go through, and still having to this day having thoughts about it, it never leaves your mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something that I wanted to go through. And I'm so beyond grateful for that, because I got a beautiful baby out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it was kind of cool to be able to say I was a 39-year-old grandma, so, you know.
That was cool.
People would look at me and go, no way, is that your grandchild?
So tell me, what, I mean, obviously those things were your biggest regret, but what, if you haven't already said it, what was the biggest thing that God taught you through it, that showed you through it? Like, what was the biggest lesson that you can see all these years later?
Right. The biggest lesson all these years later was, I wished at that point in time that I would have just had a little more confidence in God's love for me. That I would have realized that, you know, I was taught so much of fear of God instead of the love of God. And I wished I would have known more of the love of God. And God taught me that. But it took years down the road for God to teach me that. Just because, you know, my dad was stern, my dad was mean. And that's how I viewed God. I knew that he created me and that he loves me, but I was just in fear. And mm-hmm. I wasn't ever taught, no, God loves you. He just wants to hold you. He just wants to teach you so that things can go better for you. So I wished I would have known that then, but God taught me through the years. And he just wrapped his arms around me and opened my eyes to understand, I love you. I'm not angry with you. I'm hurting for you. Because we misconstrue that. We think that, you know, just like I did, I took it the wrong way. You know, God's angry with me because I did this and I killed my children. But God was crying for me.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't mad at me. He was sad for me. And it broke his heart every time I did that. It broke me. I harmed another human and took their life. And God was just crying for me. And I wished it wouldn't have taken me so long to understand that. But I know that now. And so I hope others will learn that. You know, we all make mistakes, and we do many different mistakes, you know. But God's not angry. He's sad. And just reach out to him.
So what do you think of all that is happening right now with them trying to overturn Roe versus Wade and it becoming just like a big issue? I feel like every few years it's kind of like big issue again. What do you think of it? Just like, I mean, for me personally, I see, I've got a lot of people I follow on Instagram and like, they just flood their stories and their posts about like, you know, it's, you know, your body, your choice. But like, you've got a lot of people who are like, I'm not, you know, I'm pro-life, but I'm, you know, like, I'm not going to tell other people what to do with their bodies.
Right. Well, here's the thing with that. Again, there's going to be people who disagree with this, and there's going to be believers and non-believers who disagree with this. But we have to take it to this. Murder is always wrong. Murder is always wrong. So I've heard the argument that, well, if they make abortion illegal, there will be more back alley abortions and more death. Well, that may be true. I doubt it, but it may be true. So does that mean that if other people are going to go harm themselves because they don't get their way just openly murdering, we're supposed to say it's okay then? So we're going to change all the laws that people don't like because they may harm themselves or harm somebody else. We're going to say, no, go ahead. You want to murder your child? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. We don't want you to go to the back alley and hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, no, because that becomes between them and God. And whether you believe in God or not, doesn't make him not real. So you are going to deal with God on that. And if you choose to, you can't get an abortion because it's illegal. And you choose to harm yourself, well, that's on you. But we shouldn't say it's okay to murder because we don't want you to harm yourself if it's not okay. Mm-hmm. You just can't, you can't sugarcoat what it is. You just can't. So I do think that it should be illegal. But again, I can't stop every person out there that's going to kill somebody. I'm not going to beat you down if you do it. I'm not going to go to your door and knock on it and tell you, hey, don't you do that, because that is going to be between whomever that person is and God. So although I'm all for laws to make abortion illegal, I'm also not going to go pound on your door, walk up and down your street, because that will be between you and God. And, you know, if you do, it's not going to stop me from loving you. It's just going to make me sad for you.
I think that in this world nowadays, the biggest thing that probably infuriates me is the fact that people care more about a puppy than they do a human life. And that drives me insane. You'd serve more jail time for killing a puppy than you would for taking your own child's life. Make that make sense, because it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Correct. It does not make sense. It's ridiculous. But to a non-believer, you know, they think that puppy has just as much rights. And to a believer, we think differently. So yeah, it is. But again, you know, we live in a crazy world. And as believers, we just need to shine. We need to shine. And doesn't mean we're okay with everything that's going on. And it's okay for us to say we're not. I firmly believe that. But we just need to show love. Yes, I will always vote to please make abortion illegal. But again, I'm not going to, you know, make it a witch hunt. Mm-hmm. Because you will answer to God. And God will take care of his children. Every aborted child is with him. And as believers, we need to know that and remember that. That every little aborted child is with the Lord. And so we just need to cling to that. We just need to cling to that.
Have you by chance seen, you know, I've seen on social media, people have made videos or they have made signs for picketing where they are referencing specific Bible verses that show that God actually told us how to have an abortion. They like all these different things that have to do with, like, you know, killing your baby. And
wow. Like,
have you seen that at all?
I haven't seen any of that.
Well, good thing you're not on the social very much.
Right. I haven't seen any of it, but I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but you got to remember there's going to be people. I mean, there's always been people who take scriptures, twist it around, or just make it up. And that's always going to exist. It's just always going to exist. So as believers, we just have to know, just, you know, pay no attention to that. If you're ever in an opportunity where you can correct somebody and they're willing to hear you, please do. But if they're not willing to hear you, that's, again, that's who they are and that's on them, and they will answer to God for that. But that's the best we can do. I try not to do too much social media because I don't want to be angry all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, because there's just so much craziness, and Satan really would like us to just be angry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we become pretty useless, because nobody just wants to listen to angry babbling Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I try not to. I don't totally stay off of it, but yeah, I don't look up videos. I just don't. But I will always be there for anybody who wants to talk about it, who needs a helping hand, who just needs some love.
I think the moral of the story here is, number one, you're loved no matter what.
Right. Absolutely.
And also that I feel like maybe we're just not doing enough with educating, you know, women about their different options.
You know, the part that gets me the most, I mean, one of the first things when we had to go through training when I worked at the Crisis Pregnancy Center is the woman who created abortion, Margaret Sanger. And people don't want to know, which breaks my heart that they don't want to know the history of that. But her reasoning for that was because she wanted to select a better group of humans that should live, meaning that she thought just the white children should live. And if there was a way to make it affordable for children of other races, for their mothers to be able to get rid of their problems, she would help make that easier because she wanted a supreme race.
Mm. And absolutely people, disgusting.
And yeah, they don't want to know that part. But look how far it's gotten her. Because when you do, and when you look at it, there is more abortions going on within your other races than within the Caucasian race. And yeah. And when that happens, it breaks my heart. Because I think if you only knew that the woman who created this did it for this purpose.
Mm-hmm. I think I've seen that on social media as
and
well.
Yes, and it's just heartbreaking. It's like, don't let this woman who had wickedness in her stop you from having your children.
Mm-hmm.
That breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart. God created every single one of us, every single color, because he is the master of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman who was just filled with wickedness created something, and they just, people don't get it. It was to divide us all. It was to make herself feel better about who she was, and they don't see it.
Yeah. Did you happen to come across a lot of parents who were forcing their kids to have abortions?
I came across parents who, and let me tell you, not very many parents in reality. The clinic that I worked at was in a, you know, seedy part of town. So it wasn't a lot of kids coming in with parents, but there were a few parents that brought their children in. And again, I will go back to the 12-year-old. I'll never forget when her mom brought her in and was talking to me. And she said, oh my goodness gracious, I just wish she would stop doing this. I don't know why she puts herself in these positions. And I'll just never forget thinking to myself, she's 12. What do you mean putting herself in these positions? Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of it starts with the parents, and mm-hmm. you only get a certain amount of time to teach your young children or your teenagers. And so there's that breakdown there in our world today, in our society, that parents just let go and want to think that their kids should be able to make these decisions so young. And it was heartbreaking. That was just one of the most heartbreaking ones for me. 12 years old, mom acting like she had no control over it at all.
I think I knew one girl in high school that she got pregnant and her mom made her get an abortion. I figured, how is that legal? Like, how is that right?
You can't legally tell the doctor he has to do it. The child has to agree, but who knows, you know.
As a minor?
Huh?
Even as a minor?
Even as a minor, they can't force you to do that to your body. That's why kids can go in and have them done without parent signature. Again, I was 16. You don't have to have a parent signature to have one done. And to this day, you don't have to have the parent signature to have one done in the state of California. Mm-hmm. So now I could be wrong in other states. So I can only speak about California when that comes into play. But I know that a parent was not able to force you to do that.
I mean, I just remember, like, it boggled my mind. I'm like, how is that okay?
Like, I mean,
they're supposed to be looking out for you and they're forcing you to make this, like, you know, life-changing decision.
Right. Of course, they could have been threatening to take things away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say the guilt trip of it.
I'll take your child enough. Abort your child.
Yep.
That's insane.
I mean, when I got pregnant with Mandy, I actually, her biological dad's mom threatened me that if I didn't abort her, they would come after me and, you know, cause me problems. And so people do crazy things when they're scared.
Yeah, I just, what would you think would be a solution? You know, especially like in, like, you know, the younger, you know, junior high, I mean, God forbid, elementary age kids, or, you know, high schoolers or even college, like, you know, the ones that are scared of, like, their parents finding out or scared of, like, it ruining their career plans or, you know, et cetera. Like, what do you think would be beneficial here?
Well, first off, the kids who are afraid to tell their parents. 90% of all parents will be like I was and feel very, very sad, but they love you. And even though it will break their hearts, they're still going to love you. Yes, you're going to have to look at that parent and you're going to feel some sadness as well. But your parents love you. Then there's going to be the other ones that know that their parents are maybe not going to get over it. And you know what? There's other options out there for that. There are other people who will love you. There are help centers who will love on you. There are churches who will love on you. Parents need to talk with their kids. A lot of parents still to this day don't. They let the world do their talking for them. Mm-hmm. Don't think because your kid's 12 or 13 that they understand what's going on or that they have, you know, all the mental capacity to make these decisions. So explain things to them, but always let them know that you'll be there for them. The ones who worry about it ruining their career path, well, it might change your path for a little while, but it won't ruin your career path. I went back to school when Amber was a teenager. I went back to college and I could have continued on. So it doesn't change that, you know. I was 39 years old. So it doesn't, you can always go back and you can always go to school. And there's things, people out there that will help you and help you take care of your child while you're doing it. Help with more affordable housing. Yes, it won't always be great, but it will be worth it.
I was going to say, so we mentioned adoption being an option, but there are more options than that. Because I remember being in high school and knowing a girl specifically within the church that got pregnant at a young age. She said it was because she was raped and was afraid to tell her family. So another family came alongside of her while she was pregnant and helped her get through it. So there are people out there that are willing to help young girls or women that get pregnant that are afraid.
You mean like
like to take them in and help them and give them options and help raise the child. There's families that just so desperately want to help other families that they will do those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People just don't, you know, they just don't talk about that because, again, we have a society that wants that quick fix. And to them, abortion is the quick fix.
Yeah.
But it really isn't in the long run. And yes, there are so many options and so many people out there who are willing to help. So that's what our teens need to know. Not just girls. I mean, the teen boys need to know, too, because they have rights, too. You know, they are a part of this. It's not just women. And again, women, it's not just your body, your choice. There's a man involved or a boy involved, either which way. And he has rights too. That's part of him. And, you know, a lot of guys aren't afraid of it. You know, there, of course there are some, but there's a lot of them out there that are just devastated when it happens, when a woman goes and aborts their child. That's their child too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I was going to say 9 out of 10 guys that I know would rather be given the option and know that they had a child that was going to be born than know that you aborted their child.
Yes. And people don't think about that. They like to just sweep that under the rug because we have gotten so far into this, you know, woman empowerment stuff that we've stripped men of being men or having rights, which is so ridiculous, and have taken it to this horrible level. But yes. My boyfriend at the time, he bawled his eyes out. I mean, he went with me. It killed him inside. And he would have been right beside me had I decided to go through and have our child. He would have been right there with me. Yes, we probably wouldn't have made it forever, but he still would have been there and been a father. So we need to remember that. All these young boys aren't going, yeah, please, go murder our child. That's not what they're thinking.
Nope.
And so we need to think about that fact.
Did you ever see this movie Unplanned?
I did not see Unplanned, but I did see a few other movies more about the process of abortion. I did hear about Unplanned, though, and I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet either because I know that it would be a pretty crazy, emotional, you know, difficult movie to see, kind of like how you always question if you should watch The Passion like every year. You know, you're like, ooh, like it's rough to watch, but
yeah,
it's about Abby Johnson, and she used to be the clinic director for Planned Parenthood. Then she transitioned into an anti-abortion activist.
And you know, that's happened to quite a few of them. It's happened with doctors who did it. So that's an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is really an amazing thing when they get their change of heart and decide, oh, wow, what was I doing?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I've always been pro-life, but I think after, you know, my eldest son died and, you know, just having that experience solidified, how could anyone choose this? You know what I mean? Like, you have people who do late term abortion. Like, to think that people can abort, you know, pretty much at the same time frame that, you know, I had him at that many weeks gestation is just, it blows my mind.
I will say that part blows my mind too. I mean, I don't understand that. I do know for me, I was barely a month. I was blessed in the way that I always had a period on time. Mm-hmm. So I knew. And I don't understand. But I mean, again, we're all different people. So maybe for them, those heartstrings aren't pulled at that particular time. I mean, there's some women who their heartstrings aren't pulled towards their child until they've given birth. And a couple of weeks have passed. And maybe it's hormones. Maybe it's just, you know, something that's happened in their lives. So I can't begin to understand it. So I just allow myself to be okay with not understanding it.
I think the hardest thing now is back then we used to be like, oh my goodness, at 8 months you aborted your baby. Like, that's scary. That's hard. I can't even imagine. But now that baby can have 17 days worth of oxygen, and now they're not considered, or it's not considered murder. You can abort your baby 7 days after birth, 17 days after birth.
They haven't passed that, but.
Oh.
Yeah, they haven't passed just, that yet.
That's mind-blowing to me. How is that not murder? Because the excuse before was, if they're inside the womb, it's not a human. It's not right. Human until it's birthed and breathes air. But at 17 days, don't you think it's breathed a lot of air?
Right. In California, it's still they still have laws in place. I was reading up yesterday that it still has to be that they won't be viable out of the womb. If they're going to be, they can't. That's what I was reading yesterday for California. And I can only speak for the California law, but.
Right.
Is that something that you would get back into? Like, do you still have a passion for, you know, helping people again, like you did at Rose of Sharon?
I will always have a passion for that. And again, like I said, I will always be there for anyone who needs to talk about it, wants to talk, needs help, wants help getting help. Mm-hmm. My heart will always be there for that. Because again, I do know. And it doesn't ever go away. There are so many people like me who are willing to help, because we know it never goes away. Again, I don't feel the guilt. And sometimes when it tries to creep in, because it does try to creep in at times, mm-hmm. I always remind myself, they are with Jesus, and I will get to see them, and they are not holding it against me. Mm-hmm. So if my God's not holding it against me, you know, I have to learn to just realize that it is what it is at this point, and I'll see them again. I will know them.
I think it's just like a way for, you know, the devil to just be able to have a hold on you years and years and years and years after, you know, you have the abortion, you know, be able to just whisper that in your ear, you know, like an intrusive thought.
Right. Because he can make you unusable that way. If he can make you feel guilty and ashamed, he can keep you out of, you know, out there circulating, getting God's word out. Mm-hmm. And that's how that works. He'll use any kind of sin that you have and take it and make it to where you just do nothing. You mm-hmm. just do nothing. So he doesn't have to worry about you, because he knows that you feel so much guilt and shame. You're not about to go out there and preach the gospel to anybody, you know?
Yeah. Almost like this evening when we had technical difficulties. I'm trying to
record. Oh, yep.
I feel like when it's the hardest to get, you know, get these things recorded, then that just proves that, you know, God wants this particular story to be heard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we just have to know that, and we have to be willing to talk. There should be no sin that you've been convicted of that you're not willing to share that you've been convicted of it. Because Christ forgave us. We're okay. But if we don't share it and be willing to help others, even if it's people you'll never meet, you know, I gave my story one time in front of a large church group of women, and I had a woman come up to me afterward and say, she was crying. I just cannot believe you were able to share that, but you just helped me relieve a burden that I've been carrying around since I was young.
Yeah.
And that was just a God thing. And so if we don't allow that and allow ourselves maybe to people point at us or, you know, think ill of us, well, that's their issue, but your God doesn't think ill of you. And he needs you to be able to talk about these things, because there's somebody out there. He will make sure that the right ears hear your story if it's going to help them. He will make sure that those ears hear. So mm-hmm. we have to be willing, because that's part of being used by God. Is being willing to share whatever it is that might be able to help others in the way that you somehow sinned, but allowed God to convict you of it.
Do you have any more questions, Amber? I mean, I know it's your mom, but.
I don't have any more questions. I just want to reiterate how loved everyone is, and that no matter what situation you're going through, you're still loved. And no matter what decision you make, you're still loved. You're not judged. And yes, you will have to answer no matter what you do, but we still love you, and there still is help out there for you. And there is options. I just hope that everyone knows that there's options.
Yeah. Well, we got through it. We knew it was going to be a little intense, but thank you for sharing, CJ.
You're welcome. You know, anybody that you know, if they ever need to reach out to anyone, I'm always here.
Speaking of which, do you want to give out your social, or do you want maybe people to
email us?
Yeah. They can email us if they want to reach out to you.
Yeah, they can email and you can get a hold of me if anybody needs to talk or just has questions. Absolutely.
All right. Well,
awesome.
That would be at uncommonfaithpodcast@gmail.com. And just put, you know, reference this episode that, you know, you want this, you know, forwarded along to CJ, and we can get you guys connected. We'll also be probably putting more information in the description of this episode for any of those who are in need of help or counseling or just a listening ear. You know, we're all here. You can follow us at Uncommon Faith Podcast on Instagram, and you can follow me at ashley.reed. Amber, where can we follow you at?
You can follow me on Instagram at amber_n_g.
That's where we find you.
Yes.
Sorry, we can't even make it. It's too serious of an episode.
But our lines of communication are always open, so don't hesitate. We are here for you no matter what.
Mm-hmm. No judgment.
No judgment. Even if it's just a prayer for guidance, we're here for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for listening.
All right, guys.
Tune in to next week's episode. Until then, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.